that's in my house. There's nothing in my storehouses that I did not show them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and that which your fathers have stored up till this day shall be carried to Babylon.
You're going to lose it all. You showed it to these people and they will come in and take it away. So chapter 40, we hear three voices. Chapter 40 helps us with kind of what happens next. But interestingly, in Isaiah, chapter 1 to 39 is a bit of a kind of, this is what's going on. Chapter 40, there's a gap. We don't know about it. But what we do know is that actually, as we read chapter 40, this is of a day to come. This is prophetic. This is not of the day that they're in at the moment. When you hear these words, comfort, comfort my people, and I will draw alongside them, this is going to come 100 years from the point at which it is spoken out of the mouth of Isaiah. What happens in the Bible? Well, clearly prophets are given a word, but often not of their day, of a day to come, so that we can see that God is in control. And that is the big lesson here. God is so much bigger than we sometimes think he is. He's able to use nations who don't even know him, won't even acknowledge him. And he uses them to teach his own people a lesson. That's the circumstance that we have here. God's people are feeling attacked, weak and lonely, but they are by their own gods. But we hear three voices. Three voices in Isaiah chapter 40 that actually will encourage and bring hope. Comfort, comfort. But that comfort will not be at the point of hearing it. It will be in a time to come. Let's read those three voices. The voice of God, the voice of a herald. And then lastly, the question is, what about our voice? What about our voice? Firstly, chapter 40, verses 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, cry to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sin. What we spoke about the warfare and the circumstance. This is God's people, and there are other nations looking in, pressing in. They're in a battle zone. It is warfare. What does God say? Well, he says, comfort, comfort. For actually I have paid you. You have completed the time of judgment that I've put on you. It's interesting. It talks about a double share. Do you see that? There's a sense in which she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's not God going, I'm paying you back and I'm giving you twice as much. No, no, no. The picture is here. It's like doubling over a sheet. You know, when you double over a sheet, so you've kind of got, you've got the size, and then you kind of wrap it over and cover it. Well, that's the sin has been covered. That's the doubling that we have here. That's the picture. God has brought justice. That's what's happened. God is going to punish the rebellion and the sin. So that has been completed. But then we get a second voice. A second voice, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. These words are familiar, aren't they? Do you recognise these words? Who spoke these words? John the Baptist. John the Baptist spoke these words of himself. I am the one. I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. This is John. Put that into the context. So we've got a nation, God's people, persecuted, Assyrians, Babylonians, and they're being told, comforted, comforted, but that's for 100 years from now. And then, from that 100 years from then, the comfort will come because God will raise up one. The mountains will be
For the mountains will be made low and the hills made low. The valleys will be raised up. Well, that's if ever there was an opportunity to flatten out the landscape and to see. What do we see? Well, we see coming a highway for our God. We see God. Everything is just plain. We see Jesus. The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. That's the picture here. How are we comforted when faced with persecution and tough times? Well, flatten the mountains, raise up the valleys, and see the glory of the Lord Jesus. He is glorious. In our Reformation sermon series, it's been great, a real challenge for us to think about, actually, sola de gloria, the glory of God alone. But actually, as we've talked about the glory of God alone, actually, we've been reminded it's seen in Christ. That is where the glory of God is fully, truly seen. That is where we should be looking. The other day, yesterday, I was walking the dog, Brian, out in the park. Dunorland, actually. Very nice, lovely kind of place, you know, all the hills and beautiful. But everywhere I went, I met a few, you know, dog walkers and a couple of other runners. But everywhere I met a signpost. There they were, warning. Be careful. What were they? Signposts tell me, runners beware. It's Saturday morning and it's park run. Within minutes, at 9 o'clock, 200 people were barreling down the park, zooming around, running around. The warning was there. The signposts were there. What were the signposts telling me? That, well, don't look at me at the sign, but know that someone is coming. The runners are coming. Well, in this case, it wasn't a runner, it was a forerunner. John the Baptist was to come to remind us the glory of the Lord is to come. Jesus is coming. So, the second voice reminds us that actually John the Baptist is on his way. And he is going to be pointing to and helping us to see the glory of the Lord in Jesus Christ. So the question, the third voice, is, so what do we cry out? What about our voice? What are we going to be saying? Well, that's verse 6. A voice says, cry out, what shall I cry? Well, this is what we're told to cry. All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of the Lord endures forever. It's reminiscent of Psalm 103. I often use it at funerals. But the point is this, is that we live and then die. Like a flower, a beautiful flower, we fade and fall. The point is this, is what should we be saying? What should we be shouting? Well, the answer is that actually we come and we go. Nations come and go. Assyrians will come and go. The Babylonians will come and go. But the word of the Lord will last forever. And that's seen in this passage as these prophecies come true. Why? Because the word of the Lord endures forever. What will be your lasting epitaph? Well, we flourish, we fade, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. It's not a bad one. Do we in our lives model that? Do we in our lives speak of our life and then remind ourselves of our frailty and our death, but say that the word of the Lord will last forever? Be encouraged. God won't fade and die. How encouraging it is to hear. So what is this word that we're told of? What we should be shouting about? Well, look at verse 9. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. Go on the high mountain, you who bring good news to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Shout. That's what it says. Shout. What are we to shout? Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes in power. That's what we should be shouting about. That's exactly what John the Baptist shouted about. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. How exciting! The people of God were there, thinking, great! We're finally going to get the warrior we need to fight the Assyrians, to fight the Babylonians. We're going to take them all on, and we're going to defeat them, and we're going to beat them. We're going to be the nation. But it wasn't going to be a soldier. Who was it? It was going to be a shepherd. Can you see I can feel the shock in that passage. They're there kind of going, look, the pressure's on. The nations around are going to defeat us. You're telling us, comfort, comfort. We're being comforted. And we're expecting some sort of soldier to rise up and defeat the other armies. And you're telling us about a shepherd who's going to come in 100 years. But that is true comfort, because we will fade and die. But the word of the Lord lasts forever. How encouraging. Listen to the shepherd. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. I think sometimes we're not as surprised as we should be. We're not as surprised as we should be at Christmas. How amazing this God is. I hope you've been shocked by the fact that God has raised up nations to defeat his own people. Well, that's enough of a shock to me. But the fact that he's telling a people 100 years before it's going to happen, be comforted. Not in your lifetime, but be comforted. Why? Because you will rise and fall, but actually be comforted, because my word does not fail, and there will be one that comes, but it won't look like the soldier that you want to come. Actually, Jesus will come. He is the good shepherd. He'll be what you need, not necessarily what you want. So let me mention a few things from this. Firstly, be encouraged. God is in charge. That's what this passage tells us about. God is in charge. And if you want to know how big he is and how amazing he is, then read the rest of the chapter. Now, this afternoon, why don't you, just before you come back here a little later, I'll read the rest of Isaiah 40. It's a massive encouragement. And it's a real humbling a passage that talks about how great God really is. If you don't know Isaiah 40, then spend some time in it. It's amazing. God is in charge. It may not feel like it sometimes, but he is in charge. He has a plan. It might be bigger than your lifetime, but be encouraged. Secondly, we can do no better than to live our lives looking for those signposts. Or even as John the Baptist did, being the signposts to Christ. Helping people to see the glory of the Lord in the face of Christ. How great that is. What a privilege that is. Thirdly, we live, we die. But the word of the Lord lasts forever. Do we have a love of the word of the Lord? Do we delight in it, in him? The living word, but also the written word? We should do. We should do. For it will last forever. May we delight in it. And lastly, what a reminder. God's plans are not our plans. I don't know whether you do. I often tell God what I think he should do. And he regularly reminds me who I am. His plans are not my plans. My job is to trust him. Well, may we this Advent, as we look to the second coming of Christ, be a people as the Israelites were. Acknowledging our rebellion and sin, knowing that there are things that are going on, but we can learn from them, but knowing that we are looking to the shepherd who is to come, who will comfort his people. We will fade and die, fall and fade like a flower, but how wonderful, how great God is. He is so much greater than we can ever grasp or imagine. Let's be a signpost to the glory of the Lord this Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are wonderful. You are glorious, and we see in Christ your glory. Help us to be people
who, as the Israelites were, help us to be a people who, even in the pressures of life, are comforted. You think of the people in Afghanistan who've given up so much, and yet what great comfort he has. For we live and we die, we are flowers that fall and fade, but actually you last forever, your word lasts forever. There is such a greater hope. Help us this Christmas to point to that greater hope, to delight in you, to be surprised by you, knowing that you've got everything in your hands. So we commit our lives to you now. Help us to be a light for you this Christmas. Amen.